back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, joined by producer Mike Kiris, and we're coming to you from 2012 Horizon Vikings training camp. It's full speed ahead at training camp. Padded practices have begun. It's always fun to be around when the guys have their pads on, the goal line periods, the short yardage periods. A fun time for Vikings fans to be here. So if you haven't been here yet, make sure you make it to Mankato. We have a big show. Two players who are under the radar who are having a big camp, and two prominent players who are having a big camp. We're going to talk about those guys later, but first, we're going to get to today's guest, and that is a man you all know, Vikings defensive end Jared Allen. What's up, dude?
Not much, just excited to be here. Yeah. This is my first time on the Wobcast.
That's right.
I'm pretty excited about
it. We started this thing in the offseason, and you know, we've had some names. We've had Michelle Tafoya, we've had Adrian.
Okay.
We haven't had Jared Allen yet though.
No, hey, here I am, live and in color.
And we're happy you're here, man. How is training camp 2012 for you? Are you in a good mood?
Oh, I'm always in a good mood. It just sucks being here. training camp is a played out tradition in my mind.
Yeah, so, I know.
But you know what? It's good to be here, be around the guys, get some work in, get the rust off, and get back in the swing of things.
So there's nothing that we can do to put you in a good mood? Like, we can't tie anyone up to the goalposts out there and make you laugh?
We can do some stuff like that. I'm always in a good mood. It's just, 3 weeks away from your family isn't the greatest.
It's
but hey, it's part of it. It's what we do, and you learn to embrace it.
There's
embracing the suck. So.
Yeah, there is a time, though, or maybe there wasn't, but early in your career where you came to training camp eyes wide open and eager, right?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, my younger training camp days, when you first come in as a rookie, you don't really know what to expect, but you're excited to be out there, you're working hard, and let me put it this way, no one actually likes training camp.
Right, yeah.
Even the guys that are out there, giving it all, there's a purpose to it. You approach everything with a purpose. So as a rookie, I was trying to make the team, trying to earn a starting position, and so you just had to fight through and grind, but you know what? We're all in the same boat, so it's misery loves company.
Yeah.
And so we just all try to make the best of it. We always have a good time. Someone usually does something really funny to really break the monotony up once in
good.
A while.
And you're probably one of those guys that does that, I would imagine. One guy who would do that is Jay Glazer. We interviewed him on the website earlier this week, one of your buddies. He's a cool dude.
Oh, absolutely. He's an absolute meat stick, and I love him.
Yeah.
known him for years now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he comes up to camp and me and him get a couple of days to go out to dinner and hang out, so that's always a good time.
Vikings defensive end Jared Allen joining us on the Wobcast today. We have afternoon practices now. Ooh. First time under Leslie Frazier, first time that we've had him since I've been here, really. What do you think about practicing in the afternoon like this?
You know what? It's it allows you to sleep in a little later because you have meetings. You don't have to really get up and get geared to go, but it's obviously hotter in the afternoon. And I really like getting the practices done in the morning. That way I could just mentally check out
for the rest of the day.
So, they're extending my work day. I got to be locked in a little more. So, you know what? But, hey, with the new CBA, it's only one a day. So, you can't really complain.
Yeah. Let's the offense. I want to talk to you about the offense. Early in camp, they've looked a lot better than what we saw last year out of the offense. From my eyes, from your eyes on the field, do you think that they look a little bit more professional, maybe a little bit sharper than they were last year?
It's hard to tell. Like I said, it was the first day of pads yesterday.
Yeah.
You really can't – I don't think you can really judge things until you get, live bullets going. And, we're never really going to fully go live here. But I would definitely – I mean, you have to assume we're in a better position than we were last year just for the fact that, Christian has another year of – he has a year of experience now. He's had a full off season coming into training camp. You draft Khalil – so you're trying to, add some more youth and depth and talent to the offensive line. Sully, he's got another year, with him and Christian going into their second year working together, and now Sully really kind of taking over the leadership role of that offensive line. So, you assume everybody's better just because there's another year of cohesiveness that they play together. So, but to see how much more professional or productive we're going to be, time will tell. But, football is a cool sport because the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And everybody's working their butt off. So, and let's be honest, it's only uphill from last year.
Right.
At 3-13, anything is
it's
better.
It's
going to
be
that.
Better. Yeah, exactly right. Hopefully 22 sacks. Hopefully we'll be a little bit better than that too.
Yeah, hopefully we can get something going.
Now, Matt Khalil, a lot is going to be made this whole – it's already has been, and it will continue to be made about Matt Khalil versus Jared Allen, right? Okay. First-round pick and the best defensive end in the NFL going against each other every day. Is it a big deal to you and Matt as much as it is to people who cover the team and as much as it is to fans? How do you frame it in your
mind? No, no, that's what I've been trying to tell people. You know, for me, I mean, he's a teammate of mine. My goal in training camp isn't to beat Matt Cleland. I'm pretty sure his goal in training camp isn't to beat me.
Right.
So, you know, now there's going to be a competition level like there would be no matter what, just from the fact of, you know, we're working on honing our craft. To me, I'm at a stage in my career, obviously, I'm not trying to make the team here in training camp. I'm trying to prepare myself for the 2012 season. How I do that is I have benchmarks that I try to hit as I go along. You know, the first few days is really just like stance and starts. And, you know, then you go into move into like your block recognition and trying to get your eyes and your feet to react, you know, at that high level. And my advice to him, it would be to approach it the same way, you know. He's got things he's got to get ready. I've told him if he's got any questions on any type, if I beat him with something and you want to know why, I'll tell you why. And vice versa. If he does something I ain't seen, I mean, or if he does something good, I'll tell him, hey, man, that's a heck, you know. So that's my mentality of it. And, you know, the hype of it's me versus him makes no sense because we play on the same team. And, you know, like I said, if our goals were to beat each other, we wouldn't be preparing, you know, ourselves for the 16 different people we got to play.
Competition. Yeah, right, the real competition. The big ticket, we call Kevin Williams the big ticket. You think he's got a lot of gas left in the tank, got another couple good seasons in him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the way he finished last season was incredible.
Yeah.
You know, after he came back from his suspension, I think he finished the back half of the season with 6 sacks. I mean, he was on fire. And he draws so much attention that a lot of the great things he does go unseen or go uncharted, I guess his stats would be a concern. But having Kevin in the lineup just – absolutely makes life easier for me. I mean, he's still playing at such a high level. His and the way he works, he's so almost methodical in the way but he's so powerful that it just kind of slows it down. It's fun to watch. And you know, I think he's got as many years as he wants to play. He's got left, and he's gonna continue making big plays for us.
I'd say the same can be said for Antoine. You know, he's at that stage too, and 14 years in, but Antoine still plays well, looks good out there, looks spry and athletic. Another guy that I was really impressed with Antoine in the offseason program, and it looks like out here he looks good too. I think he has plenty of gas left in the tank.
Absolutely, and you know, when we get to, I just turned 30, and you know, Kevin's 31, and I think Twan's like 34 or something, 35. But when you get to that age, it's about health. The talent level is there. You know, his mental side, his preparation is always going to be there. You know, the last couple seasons he's gotten injured, and that stinks. But healthy Antoine is an awesome Antoine Winfield.
So
you know what I mean? He's so good. And again, he does things that are completely different than some of the other cornerbacks in the league.
Sure.
Who, you know, you got Revis, who, you know, you might have 15, you know, 12 picks a year or something. Twan's biggest thing is that dude hits, and he's probably our best tackling on the team. You know, when if that ball bounces outside, you know Antoine's gonna come and saw it down.
Yep.
And so just to have that consistency and have that surefire, and then, you know, he's a heck of a cover guy where guys don't even attempt to throw his way.
Yeah, when you guys are watching a game back in the room and you see a particular play where the team runs a screen against you guys, to see Antoine Winfield come up from nowhere, I mean, isn't that incredible?
And, I mean, that's what gives you that confidence to play loose. Like, I can talk to him during the game and you know, I can tell him, hey, listen, I'm beating this dude. Feel free to take a jump. Or, hey, Twan, what's going on in the back end? You know, and you'll be like, hey. You know, so to have that communication with a guy like that is awesome. And like I said, a healthy Antoine, I think he's got plenty of gas left. And, you know, when you start pushing 9, 10 plus years in the league, it's just making sure you do the right things to make sure you're durable for the season.
Yeah. How was your off season, man?
Oh, absolutely great. You know, the baby's getting big, and my wife and I just kind of hung out, had great workouts with my trainers, and went up to Tahoe for a little bit and spent about 6 weeks up on the lake up there, just hanging out, working out, and you know, life is good.
And you played in a golf tournament in Tahoe, but the golf tournament that we want to talk about is your Night Ops tournament.
Oh, yeah.
We had a video of that up on the website this year, and it looks crazy. I'm trying to convince our boss, Brian Harper, to send Hiris and I to film that thing next year.
We got to get Harper to do that. I'll make sure that happens. It's a good time. You know, I tell you what, we're always tweaking it to make it a little bit different, a little more interesting. And this year we played the entire thing at night, which got a little crazy. You know, in a school we use glow balls, and so at night it just looks like there's missiles going off.
Yeah.
And, you know, got the National Guard out there people do jumping jacks and stuff. And it's all for a good cause. And, you know, we were able to raise a good amount of money. And, you know, we're looking to we're just finishing up our second home. You know, in Arizona, our second total home, we're looking to hopefully build anywhere from 3 to 5 homes this year. And so, You know,
and that's just, home for wounded warriors.
Yeah, Jared Allen's homes for wounded warriors, and what we do is we build and remodel homes and make them handicap accessible for our wounded war vets. Yeah.
And you have there's another event coming up here at training camp in Mankato, Beyond the Ribbon, that you're going to go to in the student center. Some troops who are coming back home, and you were interacting with some of those guys coming off the field here. That's, I mean, that's a cause that's near and dear to you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My family's, you know, my entire family's military. My little brother's in the Marines right now. You know, my grandfather was 23 years in the Corps, and, you know, aunt, uncles and all, your list goes on. But, you know, going over there and being on a part of a USO tour over in Kuwait and Iraq, you know, to see the daily sacrifices that, you know, our men and women, you know, give up just so we can sit at home and have our daily luxuries, you know, it really humbles you, and it really, you know, makes you realize that when they come home, sometimes not all their needs are met, and that's where, you know, we as citizens, you know, should step up and figure out a way to give back. And, you know, they truly do a thankless job. You know, I mean, they sacrifice time with their family for years on end. They sacrifice their lives in some cases, and you know, in the cases of our injured, they're sacrificing, you know, arms and limbs, and their life,
a
just
normal
completely
life.
Way of life changes. And so, you know, for me, a simple thank you isn't enough, and I don't think they get enough recognition. I don't, and it's just, it's so humbling, especially when you get to go over there and see them in their element, and just they don't want any attention. They don't want any extra praise. They don't. That's just their job, and they're glad to do it. And so, you know, for me, it just makes every day back home a blessing, and
gives you perspective.
Know, it really does. Yeah. It shifts your perspective that there's a lot worse things I could be doing out there than you know, sweating my butt off in training camp.
Yep, well said. What before we let you go, what's your favorite country song?
Oh, my favorite country song. Like right now, one of my favorites is. I got a bunch of favorite country songs, but my buddy James Otto wrote a song called "Soldiers and Jesus," and it's probably one of my favorite songs at this point.
All right, cool, man. Thanks for being on the Wobcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You going to come back again sometime?
Oh, anytime. Cool, this is just delightful.
All right. Have a good camp.
Will do. Thanks, Wobby.
Right, see you. And before we get going, as we teased earlier in the show, I have two prominent Vikings players who are having great camps I'll tell you about, and two under-the-radar players who are also having great camps. We'll start with the two names you know, Percy Harvin and Kyle Rudolph, both off to fantastic starts here at 2012. Verizon Vikings training camp. Kyle Rudolph is catching everything. Virtually no drops so far in the practices. Christian Ponder going to him early and often in training camp. And where he really stands out is in these team periods when they work on third down situations, when they work in the red zone, when they work near the goal line. Kyle Rudolph is absolutely a standout player. He's got the athleticism that you want. We've all seen that, and the size that he has creates terrible mismatches for defenses. Linebackers sometimes aren't fast enough to stick with him. Defensive backs are too small to guard him, and Kyle Rudolph is a guy who is poised for an absolutely great season based on what we've seen here so far in training camp. A great red zone target, a great third down target for Christian Ponder. Yesterday, after the afternoon practice, Christian Ponder was meeting with reporters, and they were asking about how often he goes to Kyle Rudolph and if he has to look away from him at times. And Christian said, if Kyle is even a little bit open, he's going to get the ball because of the mismatches that he creates for opposing defenses. Percy Harvin, same thing. Kyle Rudolph is catching everything thrown to him. Percy Harvin is lining up everywhere in the offense. He's lining up outside. He's lining up inside. He's lining up on kickoff return. I would imagine at some point he'll be lining up in the backfield for Bill Musgrave and the offensive staff. And it's great to see him on the field performing well, in a good mood, interacting with players. Another favorite target of Christian Ponder's during practice. And the Vikings can motion Percy. They can line him up in the backfield. They can toss it to him. They can hand it to him. They can throw screens. He can run intermediate routes. So it's really been fun to watch how the Vikings have used Percy Harvin so far during training camp. I expect Bill Musgrave and his staff to get very creative in how they deploy Percy Harvin. It could be something where each week it's something different with Percy, just because of how versatile a player he is and how many physical tools he has. And another guy that presents problems for defenses because it's so hard to find an individual defender who can guard him. A couple of names that you might not know who are having great training camps. Another wide receiver, his name is Kerry Taylor. He played college football at Arizona State and was with the Vikings all offseason. He's a receiver in the mold of a Percy Harvin in terms of his stature, his size, the way he plays.
He's a sudden athlete. He's quicker than fast, but really sure hands. Not many drops out of Kerry Taylor either, a guy that not many fans know, but once we get to the preseason games, you'll probably see him a lot. Now, the wide receiver group is thick right now in competition. It's going to be tough to make the team as a wide receiver because of how many bodies are in camp, and Kerry Taylor is certainly a big part of that. He's going to make it very tough to cut him if it comes down to that. He'll be, if he doesn't make the roster, it's going to be a very good player that's now available for other teams. If he does make the roster, he's a guy who's going to help both on offense and special teams. So keep an eye out for number 15, Kerry Taylor, once we get to the preseason. And finally, a defensive player who's standing out. You might not have heard of him. His name is Jeff Charleston. He plays defensive end. He wears number 94. He's been a standout working with the second and the third teams so far in training camp. First padded practice, he got a couple of quarterback pressures, and even in the unpadded practices last week on Friday and Saturday, Jeff was really standing out. He came from New Orleans, was injured some last season, and New Orleans thought he was expendable. The Vikings picked him up quickly after his release and brought him to training camp, and Jeff has been a standout player. He's been working with the second and the third team, so we don't want to get too excited, but if he's given the chance to work with the first team a little bit more and be a rotational player in there with a Brian Robinson, maybe he could be a great boost to the Vikings defensive line, especially when you consider that Everson Griffin, who was kind of in that role as a reserve defensive end who was playing on a rotational basis with Brian Robinson, he's moved to linebacker, so that kind of opens up a spot for a Jeff Charleston to step in there and get some reps. A guy like DeAndre Reed, who's also having a great camp, to get some extra reps. So keep an eye out for number 94 once we get to those preseason games. Jeff Charleston, a defensive end. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We'll leave you with one of Jared Allen's favorites. Take it away.
And both got back up again after they fell. They never picked the fight, but they're there to pick up the pieces.